Yes, we're here with Martha Mook, electroacoustic violist, composer, producer of multi-genre events, clinician, educator. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And you're in town this week to perform with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia. Tonight you're performing in a program about improvisation at the Annenberg Center.
Yes. Yeah, this week is definitely has the improvisational theme running through it.
And then on April 1st and 2nd, the Chamber Orchestra is performing the world premiere of your new piece, Invisible Hands.
Yes, they are.
And you are the soloist.
I am.
Well, we're delighted to have you here. Thank you so much.
My great pleasure.
Now, before we start the music, could you describe your instrument? Because you have here a very beautiful looking electric viola.
Yes, so I guess for people that are watching on the live stream, it's made by Yamaha, and it's a pretty new model. It's very sexy looking in a way, lots of curves and sort of cut away. I like to say, I couldn't afford the whole thing, so you can see through it. And this has five strings, so it's actually a combination of a violin and viola, or viola and violin. This is a little bit of a specially made model for me. They made it a little bit longer for the viola length.
And in addition to the viola, which really does look like a work of art, I've heard you say that all of the electronic equipment that you have at your feet, you consider part of your instrument.
Exactly, because ultimately where the sound comes out, everything in between makes that what it sounds like. And years ago when I first started out, I had a lot of people that said, oh, they didn't like the sound of electric violins or electric strings because it was terrible. And I said, I agree with you. That's why it's very important to put in quality pieces of gear in between and know what you're doing with it, because it's all one instrument, all becomes the instrument.
And I've heard you say, I love this, that you have the soul of a violist.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It has to do with everybody resonates at certain different frequencies, and you find your instrument that way. Singers, players of orchestral different instruments. I actually started out on viola. And when the string teacher wanted me to change to violin because I was progressing pretty rapidly, and I took it home to try over the weekend, and I brought it back, and I said, nope, it doesn't resonate with me. I want to play the viola.
Well, today you're sampling your works for us.
Mm-hmm.
What will you start out with?
So something I like to do in whatever space I'm in is a little bit of an offering for the space, and it's an improvisation. And just to sort of tune up the room and tune myself and everybody around it. So this will be an improv for WRTI. Never played before, never played again.
Thank you. What are you doing when you improvise from scratch like that? You're playing something else, mm-hmm. playing a pre-recorded?
Everything is done live. There's nothing pre-recorded, nothing up my sleeves.
So you start playing, and then that bass line or whatever continues.
So what I have at my feet are a couple of foot pedals that are multi-effects pedals, digital delays and pitch and things. They change the sound of the instrument. And I also have a looper pedal, and that's what gives me the repeats. And if I start a phrase and I record it, and it just keeps repeating, I can make layers on top of that. I have control over volume. I'm a control freak. I have control over everything.
And what determines what you play?
The moment. That's what improvisation is about. It's all about, I start with a sound, so I had a certain effect that I knew I was going to start with, a little reverb-y, a little bit of a delay. And then again, I start playing and I see if I want to play something a little more somber, a little more light. I like to add a little bit of rhythm just to, again, just to see where, how the space sounds.
And you were classically trained as a violist.
Yes.
What was the turning point when you decided you wanted to expand your musical palette?
Yeah, there was a definite moment when I was in high school and somebody lent me a recording of Jean-Luc Ponty, a wonderful jazz electroacoustic violinist. And when I heard this recording, it blew my mind. And on the cover, he's cradling this beautiful blue five-string electric violin. And within the year, I had my parents drive me down from, I lived in Staten Island, New York City. They drove me down to 48th Street to Manny's, which no longer exists, and I bought that very same five-string violin and just started experimenting with different pedals and sounds, and they didn't have this, what I'm using here, back in those days, but a lot of trial and error.
So it really has... You're still playing the viola. It's just opened up all the musical possibilities with different sounds.
It's unlimited, really. And, you know, when I first started, I asked different people I knew that were playing, that were plugging in or playing electric. And everybody I asked said something totally different. So I basically just had to keep trying different pieces of equipment until I found my sound, my voice.
So what will be here now?
So I'm going to play a little bit of this was a big multimedia piece I did a number of years ago called Dreaming in Sound. And I have pedals here today. I had several more pedals. I had speakers up in the sky, and I was setting loops up there, and they were moving all over. And It's an hour-long piece, but I'll just play a couple of minutes of it because there's a lot of different sounds that I like. Thank you.
Great. If you're just joining us, that was Martha Mook playing live in the WRTI Performance Studio. She was playing a selection from her latest CD, No Ordinary Window. This whole concept of a window, is the window music?
So, yeah, window is a lot of different things. I consider it window to the world, window of opportunity, window to the soul. So it's a portal, basically, yeah.
So as a composer, I understand your composition process varies depending on the piece, the circumstance, the mm-hmm. inspiration. So what was this?
Well, what I just played was Dreaming in Sound. That's not yet on a recording.
Oh,
but No Ordinary Window is the latest. I'll play a little bit of that, so you get the idea. But it's along those same lines. But I do, for me, the live experience is really what matters. When you go out to listen to music, you are never, even if you're going to hear a Mozart symphony, you'll never hear it exactly the same way twice. And what I believe in my performance and improvisation takes it a step further. You know, when you go out to a hall and it's every time you're going to be sitting next to a different person, the temperature is going to be different. You will have had something different to eat beforehand. Maybe you'll have a headache. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you had a fight with your spouse, or maybe you're feeling great. And you're going to experience the music differently every single time. And I think the audience doesn't always get that it's a really unique experience to go out and hear live music. So that's part of what the window is. And even that I put out CDs, I still encourage people to come and hear the live performance, because I will never, I guarantee you will never play the same thing twice in a performance. Even if it's written out, I get a vibe from the audience. I sense if they're into it. I take them with me on the travels, and they don't even know they're part of the performance.
I was looking at one of your videos online, and there were some beautiful colors going on in the background. And your music seemed to go so well with that movement of color. Do you think visually when you're playing?
Not necessarily. I'm inspired by all the different sounds. And that really, you know, it's like being in the kitchen and you grab different ingredients, depends how much salt or how much sugar or how much spice you put in. And each time you can bake the same cake, but it'll come out a little bit different every single time because of the different elements. So I'll start out like this piece, which is from An Ordinary Window. In fact, I call it Window of Opportunity. I tried a different, was experimenting with settings, and I found this. That when I play one note, I get this whole series of different harmonies diving up and down. And so I created this piece that is based on that.
Puts you in a different space
yes.
in your head.
And I purposely didn't end it. It just keeps going until your imagination stops hearing it.
It reminds me of listening to music in a cavernous cathedral or mm-hmm. a canyon where you hear echoes and reverberation.
Yeah, well, that's part of what these pedals do. They can put me in, you know, in the Grand Canyon, or they can put me in a little studio. They can make me into, you know, 15 different players.
So your new work, which will be have its world premiere with the Chamber Orchestra April 1st and 2nd, is
yes.
called Invisible Hands. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired this work?
Yeah. Well, just the opportunity to play with the orchestra. And the idea of the piece is actually I created two pieces. The orchestra will play it first, just acoustically, and then they'll play it again with me as the soloist, adding all my electronics and my different improvisational elements to it. So the audience gets to experience it on multi levels, and which is very unusual for a new piece of music. Usually audiences hear it once, so they don't really get to process it. So a little more familiarity and a little different context, they'll hopefully appreciate it in a different way.
Does that mirror your composition process? You composed one part first and then?
No, I've started doing this when I'm playing with a larger ensemble. And again, it's part of, because usually an orchestra doesn't improvise, so I give incredible kudos to the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia for doing this series, because it's pretty daring. A lot of classically trained musicians are afraid of improvising. They're trained to play exactly what's on the page. And so this is an opportunity for them to experiment and open up. I told them at the rehearsal today, in my piece, there's no wrong notes. This is an opportunity to express yourself that you usually don't get that chance to in an orchestral setting. And the title itself, Invisible Hands, comes from, I'm very inspired by the writings of Joseph Campbell. And he has this series of conversations with Bill Moyers called The Power of Myth. And I guess I'm inspired by myth and creating that different universe, another dimension of sound.
And the invisible hands are?
Invisible hands, you know, when you least expect it, they're there. Again, in this work, sometimes they're there when you least expect it. Sometimes you didn't realize you're hearing something else and you don't quite know what it is, but they're helping. Invisible hands are helping everybody, the players, the audience, the conductor, myself. I'm counting on a lot of invisible hands for this performance.
Okay. Well, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio listening to Martha Mook perform a little bit from Invisible Hands.
Yeah, so I just give a little bit of a demonstration. There's a lot of elements to the piece. And one of the improvisational element in the piece for the orchestra will come at this time where I will, let me just set up a little pedal advance here and touch this button. So,
thank you.
will happen at a certain point, and I will actually be interacting with the musicians. And again, it will sound very different. And we'll see. I think it's going to be a magical moment in the piece.
It's very exciting. I mean, you have had such an interesting career working with artists, classical artists, Orchestra of St. Luke's, David Bowie, Barbara Streisand, all of these different artists who are ostensibly in different genres, but you've brought them together also in concerts. The role of genre is kind of open to question right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had an issue with genre because I don't like it. I play all kinds of music, and for me, it's all legitimate. You know, so you go to a museum, you don't necessarily like every piece of art in the museum. They like to put things into genres as well, I guess. But for me, it's about hearing it and being moved by it. It's not just listening with your ears. I like to tell people when I do smaller settings, listen with your arm and your legs, and listen to your experience, listen to your history. I love when people tell me after that it reminded them of some childhood experience or some other feeling or emotion. To me, that's when I know that this language, this communication is really back and forth.
When music really can touch people.
Yes.
And move them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much. We are about to turn our on-air programming back to Bliss, but I want to remind everyone that you'll be performing tonight with the Chamber Orchestra at the Annenberg Center in a program about improvisation hosted by Andrew Lipke. Mm-hmm. And your brand new work, Invisible Hands, will be premiered next
Sunday
and Monday, April 1st and 2nd. And that will be at the Kimmel Center.
Yes.
So we look forward to all of those. If you are following us on Facebook right now, stay with us because we are continuing our conversation and music with Martha Mook. But right now we will hand over our audio feed to Bliss Mikkelsen. Back to you, Bliss.
Follow your bliss.
Follow your bliss.
Well,
or stay
thanks,
with us.
Susan. Thank you, Martha. Fascinating. I was really enjoying that.